And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid, conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about this show is down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, number one of the triple dipper here. And by the way, top of the hour, my friend Stephanie Smith's going to call in and talk a little bit about her thoughts on the idea of changing out leadership based upon the results we've just seen in the election. So keep that in mind. 3 o'clock, Stephanie Smith always has great commentary. First things first. Now, what positions are changing and what positions are being, I don't know, threatened, if you will, or challenged? Challenged is a better word. There are some that are appointments. A couple things have been kind of interesting. Let me go ahead and get my stuff in the right order here. So number one, and by the way, keep a close eye on this one. A guy named Danny Werfel. Wasn't Danny Werfel a quarterback? Boomer, wasn't that?
That sounds right.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that was a quarterback, wasn't it? I mean, I'm trying to think who he played for. Florida? I think, anyway, bottom line, there's a guy named Danny Werfel. Spelled differently. Danny Werfel, the football guy, you're looking him up, is spelled W-E-U-E-R-F-E-L, I believe. Wasn't that him?
American football quarterback.
Yeah, I knew it.
University of Florida.
Okay. What year was that? How did I remember that?
Wow. Oh, man.
Come on.
95, 96.
Dang. I must be an old guy. Okay. All right. Anyway, let's get back on track. All right. The bottom line is this. At the time when the Biden administration has upfunded the IRS to the tune of billions of dollars so they can hire 87,000 new IRS agents, another guy named Danny Werfel has just been tapped by President Biden to be the new head of the IRS. Okay. So the IRS army is going to have a new boss. Who's that going to be? Werfel is not without experience, says the post-millennial, dated November 12th, which is, Saturday? The White House announced on Thursday President Biden's intent to nominate Danny Werfel as head of the IRS. Werfel is not without experience. He already had a brief stint as the acting commissioner of the IRS in 2013 under the Obama administration. Oh, good. Where he navigated the multi-week government shutdown. Prior to this, he worked at the Office of Management and Budget. He worked as the Office of Management Budget Controller, where he oversaw the implementation of the $787 billion American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Oh, good. Democrats want to make his confirmation a top priority. That's a red flag right there. I'm just saying, if it's a top priority for them during the lame duck session, then they really want it bad. There's a reason. Some Republicans have been highly critical of this appointment, such as Ways and Means leader Kevin Brady, who has little confidence in Werfel's ability to restore credibility and confidence in the IRS after the agency's shameful targeting of conservative groups. So basically, back in the Lois Lerner days and a few years thereafter, when Obama was using the IRS and weaponizing it to target conservative groups, this guy was one of the people in charge. Now he's going to have 87,000 new IRS agents, and he's going to be your new head of the IRS if they get him confirmed. We'll see. Here's the other one, though. This happened over the weekend. It got kind of hairy on Friday, and it developed over the weekend. So Customs and Border Protection, the CBP, they fall under the Department of Homeland Security. So Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is the head of DHS. The head of the CBP that answers to him is a guy named Chris Magnus, or at least it was. He resigned this weekend. He resigned because he was told, you will resign or you will be fired. At first, he resisted. Story here on Fox News, dated Saturday. U.S. Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Chris Magnus has resigned from his position. President Biden accepted Magnus's resignation letter, according to a Saturday night press release from the White House. In the resignation letter, Magnus said his resignation is effective immediately. Magnus was told to resign or be fired by Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, according to a government source. Afterward, Magnus then emailed senior CBP staff stating he was determined to remain on the job. In other words, he was like, no, I ain't doing it. I ain't leaving. I think I'm doing everything right. Well, you're not, but I'll be honest with you. I think what we got here is this guy Magnus, he was the sacrificial lamb. I don't know who they're going to put in there. But Mayorkas needs to resign. Or for that matter, Mayorkas needs to be impeached. But all said and done, Mayorkas threw old Magnus under the bus, and we now have a vacancy. They are now hiring at the CBP if you're willing to apply. So there's that. What about Nancy Pelosi? Oh, Boomer, what was that reaction, man? I'm just
not a fan. So every time I hear her name, I'm just, oh, no.
Okay, well, that's okay. You work here, so that's all right.
That's right.
Your opinion is safe. All right, so Hakeem Jeffries is a congressman from the Bronx. And a story on New York Post. You know, there's questions about what Pelosi's going to do. Some say Pelosi is planning on staying. Like now, somehow she's changed her mind. If they can gain the majority, she would stay. Well, they're not going to gain the majority, but we'll see. But nonetheless, Pelosi is probably on the outs. I mean, just like all the other senior leaders, she's literally right at around 80 years old. And you have to think, when do you go away? Now, Representative Hakeem Jeffries is said to have a strong relationship with her. Hakeem Jeffries is also, and I don't know how to describe this except to say he ain't a whack job like the squad. In fact, the squad doesn't like him. Well, that makes me like him better, to be honest. But it was said that he was too close to Andrew Cuomo. Whatever. Bottom line is, Hakeem Jeffries, 52 years old from Prospect Heights, which represents part of Brooklyn and Queens and the Bronx, is the fifth-ranking Democrat in Congress since he's a caucus chair. And he's made it known that he wants to move up to be the minority or majority leader, depending on which one, shooting for Speaker of the House if the Democrats were to retain that majority. I'm just saying. So this is what happens. I mean, this is by the way, this is nothing what I just read to you is out of the ordinary. This is the way it goes. Leadership is cyclical. Leadership is based upon results of elections and seniority and all that kind of stuff. And then, well, the end result, though, is that sometimes, though, a shakeup can cause real issues. Right now, the Democrats are not the ones lopping the heads off of their own people. The Republicans are. But like you heard in my monologue, I get it. I mean, it should happen. So, story on Fox News. Republican Party is dead after the major midterm election losses in Arizona, Pennsylvania, and Nevada, says Republican Senator Hawley. Now, Hawley, if you're not familiar with Hawley, you ought to look him up. The guy gives some pretty solid conservative commentary on a regular basis, and he's not afraid to speak out. So right now, what's happened is we're looking at it appears that we've lost the Senate, right? If you hadn't heard, by the way, it does appear that we've lost the Senate. Now, my recollection is that Adam Laxalt, and I need to double check on this, but if Adam Laxalt has conceded, I'm not aware of it. Adam Laxalt is running against Catherine Cortez Masto, the Democrat incumbent in Nevada. And then, of course, we still have the Blake Masters against Mark Kelly. Both those races have been called by the press. Neither has been conceded and or certified by the actual candidates or by the states. So more to come on that. But it does appear, though, the way we're headed, that we've lost both those races. What that basically means is it's a tie again. And it's all down to what happens in Georgia as to whether or not we're going to have, you know, a 50-50 or whether the Democrats are going to have more of a majority than they had before, which is just ridiculous to me. Anyway, FoxNews.com, dated yesterday. Republican Party is dead, says Hawley. He goes on to say, and I thought this was so spot on, man. How many times, Boomer, have I said in the last few weeks or months that if you don't give people a plan to rally around, they won't know what's going on?
Oh, absolutely. You've said that multiple times.
Thank you.
Yes.
You've got the recordings.
I got the recordings.
If we have to prove it, there they are. They're in the archives.
And they're on podcasts.
By golly. All right.
Got to have those plans. Man.
Hawley says he's vocally critical of the Republican Party after they failed to win in Pennsylvania, where Republican Dr. Mehmet Oz fell short of defeating Senate-elect John Fetterman. Still boggles my mind. Hawley says, here's the word, you ready? Quote, you can't expect independent voters to vote Republican unless you give them an agenda they care about. Aha! 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 The day before, Holly said the Republican machine lost big in the midterm, said their legislative priorities were not being supported by the American people. He says when your agenda, quote unquote, is to cave to Big Pharma on insulin, cave to Schumer on gun control and the Green New Deal, and tease changes to Social Security and Medicare, you lose. He also suggested Republicans fail to present their own ideas and initiatives to voters and only pointed out to the failures of the Democratic Party. He said it's not enough to say to the other side that they're just no good. You have to offer an actual agenda. Thank you. Aha! That's my new thing for the day. Cacistocracy. Aha! By the way, Holly's not alone. So here's the interesting dynamic on this. They're supposed to vote on Senate leadership this week. Pray tell, why would you rush this? The elections are not over with. Maybe because McConnell knows that who's there right now, he has the votes and he wants it bad. And he wants to keep, even though he's 82 years old and presided over nothingness, he wants to go ahead and keep his job. Oh. But he's being encouraged by some other members to wait, to delay the leadership for right now. Politico, according to Newsmax, dated Saturday. In a letter obtained by Politico, Senators Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, Mike Lee of Utah, Rick Scott of Florida pressed for their colleagues to sign off on postponing the party's leadership elections, which are now scheduled for Wednesday morning. These three joined several other GOP senators calling for the leadership elections to be delayed, including Marco Rubio, Cynthia Loomis, Ted Cruz, and Josh Hawley. I'm saying, folks, this is so what we have right now. Is there's nobody stepping up saying, I'll run against McConnell, but there are a number of people wanting to get their feet under him first, see who's going to be there once the elections are done, and then know where the votes are and see whether they can put somebody else up, or at the very least, barter for some concessions. That's what's happening right now. All right, the last thing I've got on federal, and then we'll jump over to state. Things you got to know. I said it earlier. And by the way, there was a report that came out right before I came on the air. Like, breaking news, Kevin McCarthy faces a rocky road to speakership as hardliners are emboldened. Okay, so here's the deal. In the House, the Freedom Caucus has got the game on. And I hope so. This week, the Freedom Caucus is doing its new member orientation. Those are the most conservative members of the House. Keep an eye on that. If they have a narrow majority, which it looks like they're going to, then it appears the House Freedom Caucus is going to have bargaining power. Because in a narrow majority, you have to have them. In a narrow majority, McCarthy's going to be in a position where he could compromise, but instead what he's got to do is go, all right, where's the Freedom Caucus? What are they doing on this? What do they want? Really? They want that? Okay, I got to deal with them. He can't get the votes without them. And so right now, though, it just broke a little while ago. It appears that Andy Biggs, one of the former, I think the former chairman of the Freedom Caucus, is saying he's going to run against McCarthy. So that's interesting. That's very interesting. All right, Boomer, take me to the break, brother. I ran long. We'll do that. We'll come right back. Folks, so much going on here. Can they get anything done? It's a great question. And top of the hour, Stephanie Smith calling in with her own thoughts on this. She's always got great commentary. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid, conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, let me do this. I tell you what, I was about to jump into House or Alabama leadership. I thought, wait a minute, I'm going to do one more thing on the federal side. Boomer, you got those sound clips for me, bud? Just tell me when you're ready. So here's the deal. I've had, you know, multiple questions about, okay, if all we get is a bare majority in the House, are we going to be able to get anything done? Well, remember, in my opinion, part of getting something done is not just the passage of bills. Sometimes it's A, open accountability on things that they've been trying to hide or keep suppressed, and B, stopping bad legislation. So they have to have both the House and the Senate and the presidency to get something done, and they're not going to have the House, it looks like. But then again, what can we do? Well, there was a great interview. Steve Hilton, I don't often watch his show because it comes on at a time that I'm not, you know, usually able to watch it, but I caught a clip. Steve Hilton on Fox News has a weekend show, and he did an interview with Representative James Comer, who is hopefully going to be the new Republican chair of the House Oversight Committee. And he basically asked him, can you get something done? So the first, I want to do this in two parts here, Boomer. The first clip is Steve Hilton himself sort of laying the foundation for the things that we need to do. Like, hey, how about somebody be accountable? And it's only going to happen if Republicans have a majority so they can ask the right questions. So let's do this. Let's play clip one. Boomer, go ahead and play it now.
Welcome back. Well, because of the complete mess Democrats have made with their endless mucking around with our election system, we still don't know for sure who will control the House of Representatives, but it looks like we can be cautiously optimistic that it will be the GOP, in which case we might finally get some accountability over Biden's Afghanistan disaster, Fauci, and the origins of the pandemic, the handling of the pandemic, Biden family corruption. Although, apparently, Biden isn't too worried.
What's your message to Republicans who are considering investigating your family and particularly your son Hunter's business dealings?
Lots of luck in your senior year, as my coach used to say. I think the American public wants us to move on.
Move on? What are you talking about, move on? The worst foreign policy humiliation in 50 years, a pandemic that killed millions, upending our society and our economy, corrupt business deals with a hostile foreign power while you were vice president? No. We're not moving on. Justice demands transparency and accountability.
Okay, pause it right there. And then go ahead and get the next clip ready, bud. So here's the deal. He is absolutely right. I mean, Biden is like thumbing his nose. Good luck in your senior year, my coach used to say. Oh, wow. Okay, well, I tell you what. How about this? Everybody wants to move on? How about you spent 4 years fabricating things against the Trump family, and right now we have an actual acknowledged laptop filled with all kinds of incriminating evidence and things, and you don't want anybody to say anything? Or you did preside over a debacle of a pullout from a war zone where we had invested blood and treasure for 20 years, and 13 service members died in the way it was handled, and you don't want anybody to ask any questions? Or what about Fauci and the funding of the NIH and the Wuhan lab, and you don't want anybody to ask any questions? Well, forget that. Well, I'll tell you what. The interview he had with Comer I thought was great. So while we have time left, Boomer, do I have time? Go ahead. You think we can get it? Yeah, I think we can get it. Let's try it. Go ahead and play it.
I do think we're going to take control of the House. It's looking like 220, 221 now. So that's more than enough for a majority, and we're looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to being chairman of the Oversight Committee and having subpoena power so we can finally take steps to hold this administration accountable.
And so just to be clear for our audience, you may have some concerns about the size of the majority and whether that affects anything. Does it affect anything? Even if it's a majority of one, for example, would that give you the same amount of the same access to the same powers as if it was a majority of 30?
Yes. 218 is the magic number. So as long as we attain 218, then we'll have the chairmanships, and with a couple of committees, including the House Oversight Committee, along with the chairmanship comes subpoena power. And that's very important because, as you know, we've requested a lot of information from this administration while we've been in the minority for the past 2 years, and this administration has blocked us at every turn. Mm-hmm. So we're finally going to have the power of the subpoena to be able to get the information that the American people deserve answers to.
All right, stop it there. Perfect timing. We're headed right into our break, but listen, all we need is one extra seat to be in the majority to be able to do the things he was talking about. Stay tuned. Stephanie Smith coming back with her own thoughts on the whole situation. We'll be right back.